Hello, and thanks for listening to Eureka Breaking. I'm Christopher Molesky, the director of this show. Usually I would come up to tell you to turn off your phones, but that's not important with this production. This show has been entirely written, directed, edited, and produced by students. A warning for people listening with younger children, there is some vulgar language in this show. Now, sit back and enjoy.
As a child, I often tired the lengthy summer months at my mother's ranch. I was lonely then, my mother long gone and my father away on his endless business outings. I let the natural world occupy me, spending my hours gazing at the lanky old willow tree across our lake. Staring as the tree quietly drank the dark water, I thought to myself, where did such a tree begin its life? Supposing the tree had been seeded by another, and that tree seeded still by another, what provided the first seed? Every tree has a cycle of life, and yet for the existence of an original tree, that cycle must have been broken, an effect without a cause. Much like the life of that tree, so too does this story have a cycle of life: seed, growth, and bloom. As an adult and a man of business, all I could think of was the bloom. How ripe were these fruit for profit? How readily would the public line up for a taste? However, as with any story, the seed is just as important as its consequence. Tonight, we begin at the Redwood Academy of Arts and Research Sciences in Rosemont, Illinois. The year is 1956, and my grandfather has begun his final year as a student. He is only 18 years old.
Recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it.
A hand shoots up from the dense classroom.
If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist.
This particular hand belongs to a rambunctious new student, Calvin Linwood.
Teachings or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist.
Mrs. Stoutman.
If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently...
Mrs. Stoutman.
Domestic and...
Mr. Linwood, another interruption, and I'm sending you back to Mr. Arbison without a moment's notice.
What a goddamn waste of time.
What was that? Don't think I didn't hear that.
I said, what a goddamn waste of time. Need me to spell it out for you?
I've had enough of this, Calvin. I've just about had it up to here with you, and if you can't see fit to give this educational film the respect it deserves, then I suppose I'll have to take it to the headmaster.
Educational film? I'm supposed to be learning how to paint in here, right? What's next? Spotting Nazis and beginner ceramics?
Nice one, Cal.
No one asked you, dipstick.
Enough. Cussing and name-calling simply won't be tolerated in my classroom. Do I make myself clear?
Clear as crystal, sister.
Look, if you cause all this trouble, it'll end up hurting all of us in the long run. We'll never finish our final painting if we don't follow the rules.
That's exactly right, Mr. Janice. I'm beginning to think you and Ms. Coleman might be the only people to turn in the final project.
Oh, I've already finished your final project.
Mr. Linwood, this is the first week of the school year. Do you expect me to believe that you've completed your end-of-the-year painting after just 1 week of school in session?
Correct.
Detention. Every night for a week. The library.
Oh, better make it next week, too.
You're pushing your luck.
In fact, 3 weeks should do it.
Don't make it a fourth.
See you there, sweetie.
Get out.
In the rush to the next class, we find Zachary Janice and Claire Tarnley. They've been close friends since sophomore year at Redwood. Well, they wouldn't be friends for much longer.
Never seen a newcomer stand up to Miss Stoutman like that. Must be off his head.
I don't know. I like him.
Anyhow, what class do you have next?
He's got this attitude.
I've got historiography.
He's in your common room, right?
What? Oh, yeah, he's in my room.
And you've seen his painting?
Painting?
his end-of-the-year painting.
Oh, no. We aren't in the same suite, so...
I mean, he's gotta be faking it, right?
Yeah, right. If he's telling the truth, I'd be impressed.
He told the truth, or he lied to Stoutman's face. I'm already impressed.
Right. I'd better get going now. We got music club last period. Don't forget!
See you around.
With two of our pieces already on the board, a third is about to enter the picture.
Claire, my dear.
Yes, Miss Stoutman?
The new dean asked if he could speak with you after class and interview for the position in the research lab.
I thought I was scheduled for next Tuesday.
He was rather insistent.
But my next classes, I'll be late.
Oh, don't worry about that. Oh, that'll be him. Good luck.
A strong, imposing figure holds the door for Miss Stoutman as she rushes to her next class. His jaw squared, his eyes dead, and his breath smelling of spearmint gum. This new figure takes center stage.
We'll make this quick.
Dr. Miller.
Mr. Gray.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the research director would be conducting my interview.
Well, why do you think I'm here? Sit.
Sir, allow me to say what an honor it is to—
Spare me the ceremony, darling. Name, please.
Well, Claire.
Last name.
Tanra.
Better. Application?
Sir, I was told that I'd have till next Tuesday to prepare my documentation. If I could—
What you have, we'll just have to do. Background checks out, grades sufficient, family contributions, well, adequate. Excellent. Let's get down to the brass tacks, sweetie. Beginning with Article 1, cockroaches.
I'm sorry?
Cockroaches. Are you afraid of cockroaches?
Not particularly, but I don't see Good. How...
Good. You'll be starting as, let's say, a records intern. In the lab. Tomorrow.
Sir, I'm a bit confused.
By?
The selection process. I was told it was thorough.
Redwood is no longer a privately owned institution. We've been plenty thorough, I assure you.
Forgive me, sir. The interview lasted less than a minute.
Darling, I can assure you that the United States Department of Defense does its due research, especially during times like these. We're not standing in an elementary art class here. We're standing in a sensitive federal asset. And you can be damn sure the employees of this facility are properly vetted, especially when we handpick them from the student body.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean
Good.
To.
We don't have time to get to know each other. This country is under siege. And not from tanks or gunfire, from a new breed of weaponry. Disinformation, lies, propaganda crawling into our everyday lives. We either crumble or we remind our people what makes them truly happy, what they truly love, being American. Now, I didn't ask about your boyfriend. I didn't ask which subject you like the best in school. I asked whether you're afraid of cockroaches.
We come now to last period music club. Zachary Janis has waited eagerly throughout the long summer months for his stint as club president. I can assure you, things won't be going how Zachary planned.
First, I'd like to say that I'm thrilled with this year's turnout. Two new sophomores have graciously joined the club. Everyone, please give a warm welcome to Luis and Patrick. Clap. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge Claire, our new treasurer, and Will, our new co-treasurer. All right, settle down. We've got a lot to get to. Itinerary 1, Part 1, Article 1, Club Field Trip. William, your first act as co-treasurer.
This music club?
Classical music club, yes.
Okay. Dead people music club.
Classical music is very much alive.
But those Mozarts, those Beethovens, they aren't.
After a brief pause, he takes out his flask and gulps down whiskey like his life depends on it.
That's alcohol, isn't it?
No, it's apple juice. Want some?
Apple juice?
Oh, be quiet, William.
You know, Mr. Linwood, I ought to report you to the administrative office.
You ought to get a better taste in music. May I suggest the Penguins?
No, you may not. This is classical club.
Oh, come on, they're gonna be classics.
Please leave.
Take a load off, will you? Just suggesting something a little new, a little less archaic.
I'm sorry, we're just not open to suggestions at the moment.
A little life, a little excitement. The Drifters, the Diamonds.
The Four Aces.
Exactly.
I appreciate your concern for the well-being of the club, but only registered members hold sway over our musical choices.
Ah, just our luck. Me and, Donald.
My name is David.
Me and Devin are registered classicals as of this morning. We've even got the paperwork and all that. Go ahead, take a look.
Checks out.
The kid knows his shit. Looks like we're in.
I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss a joke?
All right, everyone. Let's start with a Vivaldi.
No. No, we're not playing any of that. In fact, we're not playing anything at all. Not until Mozart here tells me what he thinks is so funny.
Just leave.
Zachary, could you please just...
Claire, this deviant has not only ruined our first meeting and brought unrest to the club, he's disrespected Vivaldi. How they admitted him into Redwood for the Arts, I have no idea.
They liked my paintings.
Right, your paintings, your talent, your non-existent painting for Stoutman.
Seems pretty existent to me.
Linwood walks defiantly to a cloth-covered easel, carefully stowed in a corner of the common room.
Show me.
All right. I'll show you Eureka. I'll show you tomorrow night. But I'll show you my painting after this club throws the most lunatic party in this school's history. People, booze, and yes, music. Not mummified, but fresh. The Diamonds, the Drifters, the Four Aces.
Absolutely not. Alcohol is an expellable offense.
You believe in the American way. You believe in democracy, don't you? I know. We'll put it to a vote. All those in favor, raise your fingers where I can see them.
The vote from the rest of the club is unanimous.
Looks like we're having ourselves a little social.
Woo!
Tell you what, let's make it a costume party.
It isn't even October.
Your point being?
Booze. Costumes. Whatever you like. You'll show me the painting?
Waiting for you like a prize at the end.
Within hours, the bookish common room has been transformed into a lively party venue. Dozens of costumed Redwood students dance to the invariably wild tunes of the 50s. As the students dance, utterly alive in their time and place, Zachary Janis steps up to the mic.
Hi. Hello. Sorry. Oh, now that's completely uncalled for. Can I talk? Will you just let me talk? Listen, just try and keep it down. Please, we don't want the administration getting involved. And can someone please tell me who hired the band?
You did.
I beg your pardon?
$50 for the night. A bargain, really.
Is that my wallet?
Well, you look at that. $70 left. That's drinks on me, guys and gals.
Give it to me now.
Slow down, Zach.
With an untrained anger, Zachary leaps off the stage, tackling Calvin into the crowd. With this, the students erupt into a brawl. After less than a minute of schoolyard ferocity, members of the Redwood administration, led by Miss Stoutman and Mr. Gray, flood into the room.
Enough. Enough of this.
Thank you, Ruth. Now, What in God's name is going on here? Nobody. Nobody at liberty to speak up? Typical. Not a single one of you wants your hands dirty.
Sir, I...
Don't speak, Janice. I might as well ask a suspect for input in a murder case. Keep laughing, kid. See where it'll get you. As for the rest of you, be sure to expect 2-week academic suspension should you remain silent about tonight's events. So, by all means, feel free to speak up.
William, the freshman, steps forward.
Will you look at this? Does this young man want a 2-week academic suspension? Speak so the room can hear you.
No.
No what?
No, this young man does not want a 2-week academic suspension.
I thought so. Now please, who began it?
After a brief pause, William points his finger squarely at Zachary.
Miss Stoutman,
Stop speaking. It's late. One student has assaulted another. That's the fact of the matter. Ruth, round up the group of clearly intoxicated juniors and bring them to my office. Get out! As for you, Mr. Janice, it looks like you've won tonight's big suspension jackpot. 2 months, not 2 weeks.
It doesn't seem entirely fair.
I'm sorry?
I mean, I did take his money. I stole his wallet. He broke my nose. Huh, what a night.
So, this is a confession of theft.
Yep.
I'm glad this issue wrapped itself up so nicely. We have ourselves 2 suspension jackpot winners in a single night.
But my wallet.
Here you go. I stole it. I'm giving it back. We're both getting suspended. What a riot.
I'll tell you what. Suspension is also very entertaining to you. I'll throw in a little volunteer work at the research lab. Your friend Miss Tanra will need all the help she can get.
Where do we put them in the meantime, Mr. Gray?
Since they can't seem to get enough of one another, why not ground them to this common room for the week? They start at the laboratory on Tuesday.
We now approach one of my very favorite moments. The seeding of the story whose twisting branches we climb this evening. I've been here countless times before. I've watched again and again, and I can never forget the look on my grandfather's face when he sees it.
I'm sorry I punched you.
Think nothing of it.
Is it broken?
I haven't the faintest idea.
I think I got a little carried away.
Please, it was worth it just for Stoutman's expression.
Enough of this nonsense!
I'll be damned. You do a good Stoutman. Who would have thought?
I've had years of practice.
Can't say I envy you.
I'd probably say the same if I were in your shoes. For lack of a better word, she's an asshole.
Well, since when did you become so rebellious?
I'm not rebellious, just exhausted with authority.
It has been an exhausting night.
Funny what a disagreement over musical taste can lead to.
Right? Beethoven's Fifth, Earth Angel, I mean, they're all songs anyhow.
Well,
Let's not start. Keep arguing and we'll end up on 5-month academic suspension. You've won tonight's suspension jackpot.
So, what about the painting?
What?
After the party, you said you would show me your painting?
How could I forget?
Calvin bounds over the couch and towards the easel parked at the end of the room.
Prepare for amazement.
As Calvin lifts the cloth to reveal Eureka, Zachary's expression changes altogether. You see, it's one of those images that tilts reality at an entirely different angle. Almost like an optical illusion. In short, it's beautiful. And that's all I have to say about it. For my grandfather Zachary, the painting is a parallax shift of purpose. His mind clouds with amazement, desire, and most importantly, possibility. He sees the possibility for greatness.
Outrageous.
The colors.
I mean, it's...
The shades.
And how?
Every fleck of paint begged his total attention.
It's called Eureka.
How? What gave you the idea?
Well, it started with a song.
Most things do.
Some guy lent me a record.
There's always one of those guys.
I can't remember his name.
Who said it had to have a name?
And it sounded like this.
It sounded like that.
A song trapped in a canvas.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. It's 12 and I'm drunker than I'd like to be. Time for the couch.
Right.
Sleep well. When you do.
Good night, Calvin.
As Eureka's perfection grows solid in my grandfather's mind, his ego crumbles. If the untrained hands of Mr. Linwood could produce something like this, well, what was the point? Why continue painting if this painting existed? For the week that followed, he would spiral, searching in desperation for hope and finding only Eureka. I now bring you to his solution, to the laboratory, to the day Zachary Janish finds his hope and Calvin Linwood becomes a cockroach.
This doesn't leave Redwood. Think of it as a discreet research project, a classroom science assignment, a harmless experiment.
Spare me the buildup.
Speak when you're spoken to. Legal names only, in print.
Would you prefer calligraphy?
Your friend likes to talk, doesn't he, Janice?
Yes, he does, sir.
A week alone with him. How in the name of God did you make it?
Make it, sir?
How did you cope?
He didn't.
I can see you two are making the best of your suspension. Good thing you've had your fun. Now it's time for some productivity. Take him through it, Miss Tanra.
The intrinsic reward simulation frequency. We like to call it the pleasure tone. That feeling of improvement after a great match in your favorite sport. That rush from mastering an exceptionally difficult arithmetic. Or that sense of accomplishment after writing a beautiful new poem. Regions of our mind intrinsically motivate us to pursue our passions. That inspiration isn't mystical, it's biological. The pleasure tone activates the biology of an organism's brain, pushing it to pursue its deepest, most internal desires. With the tone, that mathematician might be able to solve more than he could imagine. In a single night, that poet might be able to write his opus.
So this technology is viable, and you've begun testing. Testing on humans?
Not yet.
Yet?
Today you'll be testing on cockroaches.
She walks to the table and pulls away the cloth sheet to reveal two bizarre apparatuses. Two glass-sealed trays are rigged to record players and speaker systems, each set with a single white vinyl disc. Within each tray, large masses of cockroaches spiral around one another.
Small brains, basic needs. Each tray has a food dish at the center with an inbuilt audio system. In response to the tone, the roaches should begin performing their most basic desire, feeding.
So, we're observing.
Adjusting.
Each of you has access to a dial which changes the frequency of the tone. Alter the frequency, record the roach's behavior with adjustment.
We're striving for optimal stimulation.
Sitting in a laboratory all day, testing sounds on bugs. I, for one, am far from optimally stimulated. And the chairs, my God, chronic ass pain was just what I needed.
4 hours, gentlemen.
Funny how time behaves, isn't it? When you ignore it, it seems to sprint away, but when you stop to count it, it never seems to end. Calvin drags through those 4 hours like margarine, but Zachary? he can't help but fly, staring down at those spiraling insects as they feast upon their rotted feed. There is a certain pleasure for him, a pleasure of control. With each inch he pushes the dial, they grow hungrier. He likes watching them hungry.
Reports.
Calvin, of course, is asleep.
Reports!
You don't need to scream in my ears, man.
Have you collected any valuable data whatsoever, Linwood?
Nothing that jumps out.
Can you at least tell me how much food they ate?
Who?
His machine isn't on, Mr. Gray.
Wasted time. More wasted time. How about you, Janice? Janice!
Yes, I'm sorry.
Any word on data, the frequency, their food consumption?
Mr. Gray?
Darling, don't interrupt.
Mr. Gray, his machine is still on.
I'm sorry, I should have.
Mr. Gray, the cockroaches, they're eating each other!
And for the first time, a glimmer of genuine emotion crosses Mr. Gray's apathetic face.
Tanra, bring this data to Dr. Ambrose immediately. Tell him 22 hertz. 22! Exactly that.
Claire rushes from the room at Mr. Gray's behest as he turns to Zachary and Calvin.
You two are dismissed.
That easy?
Just that easily. Good work, Janice.
With a single pat on the shoulder, Mr. Gray leaves with Calvin close behind. For the first time in a week, my grandfather is alone with his thoughts. The pleasure tone, eureka, jealousy, control, they crawl through Zachary's brain like a hive of carnivorous cockroaches. How could he continue his art? How could he possibly go on creating? His thoughts aided him. And those insects, those chaotic little insects he had bent to his will. Zachary's mind gives birth to an idea. A childish idea, a simple idea, yes. The pleasure tone had worked on the insects. Why not on Calvin? You see, my grandfather needs his opus, his eureka, and who better to provide that great work than Linwood himself? A man intrinsically motivated towards creating only one thing. Paintings.
Zachary! Calvin!
Claire rushes into the utter mess of a common room. She finds Zachary asleep on one of the couches and Calvin slouched at his easel. Surrounding him are dozens of painted canvases, each varying drastically in style and content. From landscapes to still lives to paintings of Greek gods.
Zachary?
Huh?
Zachary, it's Monday.
What?
It's Monday. Classical club meets in half an hour.
Monday?
What have you two been doing in here?
In here?
Paintings. You've been making paintings.
They're not important.
Important? You've made dozens.
We've been busy.
Calvin!
Don't worry about...
What's the matter?
He's asleep.
Something's wrong.
He's sleeping.
At the easel?
He's been working.
The state of this room. It isn't right, Zachary. This isn't right.
Conditions have been perfect. It had to be this way.
What's he listening to?
Music. Songs. He's a musical guy. The Drifters. The Diamonds.
You're asking off, Zachary. What's he listening to?
Don't go...
She rushes to Calvin, getting a quick look at the all-too-familiar white disc of the laboratory sitting on his record player.
Oh, gosh!
Claire, I can explain.
Oh, gosh!
If
Zachary!
Just...
What are you doing?!
I'm so close. So damn close. It'll be just like Eureka. Hell, it might be better. I just can't let you take it away. What I found within him, it's like a gold vein, Claire.
Don't talk about him like that!
What? A genius?
A resource!
Look at the paintings. Just look. Technically brilliant visions. Each of them. And once I get one exactly the way I want, once he-
Stop talking like that!
It's logic, Claire. Don't you see? With the tone, I've got more than just a talented artist. I've got a whole career worth of masterwork.
You can't do this to another human being, Zachary. How could you even think of this?
I just need more time. Just a little more time.
I'm telling the administration. I'm telling Mr. Gray.
You don't move.
Get away from me!
Claire!
He makes for Claire, but she trips him quickly and sprints from the room.
Just a few more drafts. A couple more iterations. We'll get it this time. This time, we'll get it perfect.
Claire rushes into the dim, fluorescent lighting of the laboratory. The pleasure tone devices have been removed and replaced with a series of file cabinet drawers lying atop the stainless steel of the table. Next to them lies a single piece of paper with a crumpled up gum wrapper sitting atop it. As she picks it up, it unravels in her hand.
Care for a piece?
She jumps.
No, thank you.
I was under the impression your lab work was done for the day.
Of course. Sir, it's just something's come up.
Oh.
The discs, Mr. Gray. One of them's been stolen.
We're aware.
I'm not sure I understand.
Over here, darling. What's the matter? You're looking like a one-legged man on a tightrope.
He motions her to the filing cabinets.
I'm not sure I should.
Just a directory, Miss Tanra. It won't bite. Go ahead, take a look. Listings of each student at Redwood. Date of birth, family history, hell. The darn thing's even got pictures. 800 of the freshest minds this great country has to offer. Prime for recruitment. Tacey, Tegner, Thornsdale. Oh, Tanra. It's you.
Recruitment?
Wars aren't fought with weapons anymore, Miss Tanra. They're fought with smarts. Our country needs the best and brightest of this new generation.
Then why not just recruit us? Why the research? Why the testing?
Think of the pleasure tone as a motivator. You guys and gals can be so erratic. This country has always been held up on the backs of hard-working Americans, driven to the bones to do exactly what's best for their nation. Why should you be any different?
We're not different. Using technology like this on other people, it's
illegal. Morally bankrupt. We've always wanted to move into human testing. The problem was never about ambition. The problem was finding the right humans. Creative, intelligent, chaotic. I spent weeks looking through the student body for the perfect testing candidate. So many sleepless nights.
His squarish hand holds up the slip of paper lying on the tabletop.
It was a funny coincidence that another student took our testing into his own hands. And on one of his classmates, no less.
On Calvin.
Linwood was always one of my top picks for the program. A deviant prodigy with a love for liquor. Our goal was preliminary testing within 3 months. We had no idea Mr. Janice would do something so psychotic.
And you're not gonna do anything?
I've been keeping tabs on those two all week. No diminishing effects, no temporary psychosis. The tone is working like a charm. I mean, mild exhaustion, but there's always some collateral.
Sir, it's killing him!
As I said, collateral.
Mr. Gray, I'd like to go to the bathroom.
Give me the file, dear.
Sir, respectfully, go to hell!
In a single instant, he lunges at Claire and pins her to the floor, his movements as quick as a snake for a man of his size. After several excruciating seconds, her fingers find his briefcase. With a snap, she swings it into his broad nose and sprints from the room. He jumps to his feet, cursing and wiping a thick stream of blood from his nose. After rushing to the rotary telephone affixed to the wall, Mr. Gray feverishly dials in the number.
Security breach in Biological Research Department requesting armed guards immediately. We're locking this place down.
We're back in the common room now. The number of canvases have virtually doubled as a result of Calvin's almost mechanical brushstrokes. Zachary paces the room, picking up masterpieces from the floor and inspecting them.
Fantastic. I mean, completely.
He looks at it from a different angle, then back to Linwood.
Bit plain, though. Not enough tension. Needs more tension.
He picks up another.
Now, this is a contender. Well, apart from the negative space, aside from that, definitely in the running.
He picks up another still.
One of my favorites. Almost.
Picking up painting after painting, Zachary scours his new collection.
That's a possibility. That is not... not enough tension, just too plain. Oh, no, plain, too plain, plain, plain. Why are they all so plain? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I yelled. Are you okay?
Linwood's eyes are blank.
It's gonna be over soon. I just need one like you did before, okay? Why is it so hard for you to do one like you did before? I mean, these are great, but... God, why aren't they like Eureka?
Claire bursts through the door, tears in her eyes.
Zachary, I'm here for Calvin.
Claire, I just...
No! Just stop. Don't try and explain. Don't tell me why it's right because it isn't. Mr. Gray, the laboratory, the pleasure tone, they're using you. They're using Calvin through you, Zachary. I don't know why you're doing this. I just don't know why you can't see yourself. You need a painting? Paint one yourself. I've watched you do it, Zachary. I've seen what you can do.
It's not good enough.
What? What isn't?
Me. My paintings. My art. My talent.
Then why this? Why use other people, Zachary?
I need this. I need these paintings. So beautiful, so much better than mine could ever be. I always knew I could be better, and I found my answer. He's my answer, Claire.
Then why now?
The final painting project.
Our final project. You're ruining another person for a high school project. You're gone, Zachary. You're way beyond gone.
You just don't understand what it is to be an artist.
Maybe I don't, but I do know what it is to be decent. Look at what you've done to him.
I'm helping him, unlocking his talent, freeing him from his impulses. Think he would have produced as much in a year? 2 years, a lifetime. I'm mining his creative drives, helping him find humanity's next masterpiece. I'm not stopping until I strike gold.
You're off the deep end. Humanity's next masterpiece? Look around you, Zach. Pick a painting. Hasn't he done enough already?
They're not like before. Not good enough.
Good? Where does it end, Zachary?
When I get one, that's right. When I get one, that's as perfect as Eureka. God, you should have seen it, Claire. The muted colors turning and warping around the three twisted forms, the splashes of oil paint like musical notes into a crescendo of blinding gold. It was his painting, Claire, the one he always talked about. He had told me it was his best work. And it was. It was far beyond his best. But I know he can do better.
You said it yourself, Zachary. He's painted more than he ever could in a lifetime. So maybe there aren't any left. Look at him. He's exhausted. I don't think he has any more masterpieces left to give you. Look at yourself. It's over.
Another painting drops from Calvin's easel. Zachary considers his situation in utter silence. A silence which breaks in an instant as he leaps forward and embraces Claire.
Thank you. Thank you, Claire. You're right. He doesn't have anything left in him. All I ever needed was the first. All I ever needed was Eureka!
Zach, stop!
He begins searching his new collection, turning over canvas after canvas in search of the original, but he can't find it. He's in over his head.
Too much. No, there's too many.
Stop this!
Where is it? I need to find it.
It's over!
Too many, too many, too many, too many!
Claire rushes to Zachary as he crumples the floor in a pool of hysterical tears. The door of the common room flings open to reveal Mr. Gray, still clutching his shattered nose.
It's time for this little charade to end, Miss Tanra.
Four armed guards surround the teenagers like vultures circling roadkill. Two uniformed hands grab Claire and pull her to her feet.
You're now under the custody of the United States Department of Defense, interfering with a sensitive federal research program. How un-American.
His smooth gray eyes catch sight of the easel as he strides towards the slouched figure.
Linwood. Linwood? Total sensory detachment. The induced polysoria is really quite something. Take him to Arlington.
And with that, Calvin Linwood is dragged out of our story.
Calvin! Calvin, listen to me! Calvin!
What did I just say? Total sensory detachment. And I thought you were one of our brighter gals.
This is gonna be big. As soon as it gets out, as soon as people know what you're doing here, oh yeah, it'll be big. Front page news, Supreme Court, court-martial. Take your pick. This is far from right.
Darling, we don't break the laws. We make them.
Claire is removed, screaming and struggling as Mr. Gray turns his highly trained attention to Zachary Janis.
Kid, don't look so down in the dumps. Have a piece.
He offers Zachary a stick of gum.
Am I in trouble?
Well, ain't that the question?
The answer?
Depends on where you stand.
Stand?
With me.
Dazed, Zachary stands to face Mr. Gray.
Frankly, I'm impressed. All these pretty pictures, they build a convincing argument. And no, not towards Linwood's talent. Towards your ambition. You saw what you wanted. You spotted an opportunity, and you took it. Hell, you took it and you ran with it.
Mr. Gray, sir, what are you saying?
I'd like you to come work for us, Janis.
What?
Stealing government property. That's a federal crime, kid. Why don't we just forget about that for now, at least for a few days. Long enough for us to get acquainted. Now, I don't need your decision right away, but the wheels keep on going, with or without you. Trends change, eras migrate, but we aim to stay the same. Just consider it. After all, we've always looked for the best and brightest.
Zachary smiles a sad smile, outstretching his hand. He's already made his decision.
Welcome aboard.
The events have been set in place. The curtain has risen, yet the most fascinating of men leaves the stage before the start. Calvin Linwood. Brilliant, untethered, and naive, yet amounting only to a meager plot point in a story without end. And while Calvin stood firmly in the past, the others began a long march to the next era. The 64 years which followed brought endless turmoil and resolution to the point of fooling America into the belief that it had changed. Things went wrong as they always did, and things returned to equilibrium as they had always done. But something had started in Rosemont, Illinois. Something which grew maliciously beyond the guise of a government experiment. Something that took root, of course, with a poet and a portrait collection. The place is Los Angeles, California, and the year is 2020.